everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. Great to have you with us. I got to tell you, it's really great for me to have Ann Wellman with us. Ann is a part of our CPC campus, and you and I were having an interesting conversation in the lobby recently.
Mm-hmm. We were.
You told me about an organization that you volunteer with, the Cridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the official title?
It's called the Cridge Center for the Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, you sent me an email with just a little outline of some of the things that the Cridge is doing. There's a lot going on there.
There is.
Yeah. 159 staff or so is
roughly,
what?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a big organization. And so, Ann, I just want to just kind of dig in. Can you just give us a little bit of a scope of
the Cridge?
Yeah, the organization. What does it do?
I'll try my best. Okay. Well, it's a 150-year-old almost organization. It started out as an orphanage, started by Bishop Cridge and his wife Mary.
Okay.
I think the thing that drew me to it initially, it is, I say, an unapologetic faith-based organization.
Okay.
They started that way, they have continued that way. And, you know, over the years, that's not always easy to be that, especially in an environment where you're looking for government funding.
True.
Often a lot of that stuff comes with conditions and strings attached, and they've never wavered from their beliefs, from their values, which incidentally are acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly.
I saw that. Isn't that great?
Yep.
You guys recognize that? I sure hope you do.
Yep. Yeah. So it did start out as an orphanage, and that was a very long time ago. And since then, we have such a variety of service areas.
Yeah.
And I'll just highlight a couple of, or well, a few of them.
Thank you.
We have a brain injury program, and that retrains and re-engages survivors so that they can live independently. So so any type of brain injury, accidents, drug abuse, strokes, that sort of thing. Anybody that's rendered an individual incapacitated through a brain injury.
Yeah.
So they train them to become independent and often out into the community being employed.
Cool.
We have child care, we have infant care, we have daycare, we have a nature preschool, which I really think is cool. And we have Sun Fun summer day camps. We have what we call a respite and respitality program. So respite is to give parents who have mentally or physically challenged or disabled children who, you know, looking after your children when they have challenges is exhausting.
Yeah.
And so the respite program provides a little bit of a break, maybe a dinner out or, well, that's actually the respitality half of it. But the respite part is we have care providers, a register of care providers who will come in and give the parents some time off.
That's so cool.
Which is wonderful. And then the respitality is thanks to the generosity of a lot of our local sponsors, hotels, restaurants. They'll give a free meal out. They'll give a one or two nights stay at a hotel. Bouchard Gardens is amazing. They'll give passes. So lots of
that's
community
cool.
partners who will support that.
Hmm.
We have our transition house for single parents and children fleeing violent situations. At the transition house, they can stay, I believe, anywhere from 30 days to 90 days.
Right.
And at that point, then, if they don't have any safe place to move to, they move into our supportive transitional housing.
Right.
And they can stay there up to 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
There's a lot. But what has come out, and one of the things that the Cridge is leading the charge on, nationally and internationally, is the connection between intimate partner violence and brain injury.
Wow.
And I think I sent you some stats that were quite astounding, but the estimate is that 90% of women involved in an intimate partner violence situation, relationship, 90% of them have a brain injury.
Wow.
So that is, you know, it prevents them from making good, solid decisions for themselves and their dependents. It makes them challenged when it comes to, well, choose this or this, you know, to have to make those choices on the spur of the moment, I think it's very difficult.
Wow.
So that intimate partner violence program is becoming larger and stronger at the Cridge. We're participating with universities, we're participating with other organizations across the country.
Wow.
to explore that
yeah.
connection between that and brain injury. So at the Cridge, our transition house, our supportive transitional housing, and our brain injury programs are all part of that intimate partner violence focus.
Wow.
Which is really good.
Yeah, it's not really, it's fantastic, actually. That is a, I guess, a path or a segment or I wasn't aware of, you know, that's stat. But of course, then that, as you say, if people are struggling with making good decisions, they can sort of start making some tumbling down decisions, heading you in a path that would be
exactly yeah. and it's almost a tailspin for them, and they just can't get out of it. And that's why so many people return to the family situation that wasn't healthy for them to begin with,
yeah,
but they don't have any other options.
Wow.
So it's a bit startling when you
yeah.
see some of the statistics.
Yeah.
But I think, though, too, one of the problems with trying to get funding for programs, even to study the issue,
right.
is we don't have the data. We just
yeah.
don't have the data. The
right.
law enforcement doesn't
yep.
Gather it. The justice system doesn't gather it. So we have Jody Patterson. We've commissioned her to be an advocate to try and work with government and other organizations to move it forward a bit.
Interesting. This is cool. I'm so glad to hear what the Cridge is doing. I didn't realize this. When we talked before, I didn't have this information from you.
It's very diverse.
That you're heading down. Now, you're on their board, is that right?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm the
now,
president.
Now, you're the president.
Yep.
Folks, didn't
I
realize I should be sitting up a little bit more here.
No, it's okay.
Okay, not everyone can be the president
no.
or necessarily be on the board, but I'm presuming now that we're kind of coming out of the pandemic, if someone has heard some things here and wants to find out more about it, they
yes.
could hit the website,
absolutely.
Possible opportunities to volunteer.
Yes, possible opportunities to volunteer. Look at the website and read the stories. We post a lot of stories of what we call overcomers, people
nice.
Who have managed through their difficult situations
nice.
In all of the program areas. And watch the videos. You'll hear amazing stories. And if something piques your interest, get in touch with the office.
Nice.
And there are lots of ways to donate. There are lots of ways to volunteer. It's a marvelous organization. I can't say enough about it.
Just off Cook and...
Cook and Hillside
Cook
is the
and
main
Hillside
location, but we do
location.
Have other
yeah.
sites.
Yeah,
of
course, you've
city.
Got the houses and things. Anne, this is amazing. I told you to go by fast. Lots of stuff there.
yeah.
Lots of stuff on the website. Thanks for doing what you do. And if you are interested, if that's piqued your curiosity, I encourage you to hit the website that's on the screen right now. And thank you very much. God bless everybody. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the live stream. It's great to have you with us today. I'm standing by the baptismal tank because at the end of the service, we're going to be having some baptisms. It's going to be a special service. Thanks for joining us. God bless.
It's really great for me to have Anne Wellman with us.
Newcomers dinner coming up on Thursday, December
2nd. These are not the right ones.
6 p.m. here at the church. You're just kind of curious about SBC. You've been maybe online. Maybe you've been.
Good morning. If you can give me the mic.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Those are not the right announcements. Those are not the right announcements. And so that's why I'm here. It's great to have you. Yeah, those aren't the right ones either. I got to tell you, for those of you who are watching online and in the room, Christina and I killed it, though. We did a great job on the announcements, but you're not going to be able to see them. Here, I think I can remember what they are. We have our AGM coming up on June 21st, 7 p.m. Looking forward to gathering with you. It's where we, you know, take a look at the financials, vote in leadership team, have conversation about the last year's ministry and everything. So that is Tuesday, June 21st, 7 p.m. And as I've been trying to say that, I've been trying to remember the other announcement. Retirees and friends, it's been a couple years. Haven't been able to gather for any fellowship and all. And we're looking forward to having a retirees and friends barbecue on June 22nd at noon out at our Centennial Park campus. They're hosting us. And so, yeah, hit the website, sign up for that, and that'll be fantastic. I feel like there was one other. Oh, yes, there was. I'm sorry. This is a little chaotic this morning. We are having a grad recognition. June, we're here. Graduates, right? June 26th, having grad. If you are graduating this year, or you've got a son or daughter graduating this year, we'd love to hear about that. We'd love to be able to celebrate them and acknowledge them, pray for them on June 26th. So if you could just let us know, office@sanichbaptist.org, we would really appreciate that. Well, it is good to have you here this morning. And as we begin today, as we always do, we acknowledge with gratitude that we're leading worship. We're gathering here together on the traditional territories of the Wasanic and Lekwungen peoples. And so we're grateful to be able to do that. And as we are heading into Pentecost Sunday, as we're considering that this morning, the call to worship is a call to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The wind of God, the breath of life, come, Holy Spirit. Our advocate, our counselor, come, Holy Spirit. Teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ, come, Holy Spirit. Granter of forgiveness, giver of peace, come, Holy Spirit. May we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you guys have a stand up and join us as we worship our Lord. We're going to sing King of Heaven, Come Down. Shining like the day, King of Heaven, come. heaven come.
Shed your blood for salvation. salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you
continue our worship as we consider the passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And this is as the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Yeah. Looking forward to hearing you speak to us on this, Steve. Have a prayer now. Focusing in on the Spirit of God. And asking the Spirit to come and to be with us. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Open our eyes to see the presence of God all around us in the stillness of this sacred place, in the busyness and noise of our city streets, in the joys and celebrations of our loves, in the tragedies and struggles that break our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort those who grieve. Grant them the peace that only you can bring. Stir within us a trust in life beyond death as we ponder the mysteries of Christ's resurrection and the hope we have in new and everlasting life. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring wholeness to the sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Heal the wounded and broken, and give rest to the weary. Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire our warring world to seek peace, to love our enemies, to put away our weapons, to remember the price paid for our freedom, to care for those who have served. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite a fire in our bones, a passion for justice that cannot be quenched until all your children are loved, until no one is marginalized or oppressed, until everyone has the opportunity to thrive, until the world is transformed and renewed. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Liberate us from complacency and apathy. Inspire us with Christ's vision for a world reborn. Help us to recognize our gifts and use them in service of others. Transform our hearts and our minds. Fill us with love that overflows. Remind us that there is no greater calling than to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us a glimpse of your kingdom emerging around us and drawing us into new things you are doing in this world. Amen. Amen. Well, kids, I'm going to dismiss you, and you can head off for your class time. I look forward to hearing from Pastor Steve.
Thanks, Lindsay. Morning, everyone. Whether you're joining us here in the room live or you're online, we want to welcome you this morning. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for praying for our current financial situation in the church, and ask you to continue to pray for that. We'll give an update next Sunday on where we are financially. Also, thank you to all of you who filled in the survey responses. We sent out a survey recently. Really appreciate everyone responding. We got some really good comments and questions, and just to let you know, we're going to talk about some of those questions next Sunday, because next Sunday during the sermon time, Christina and I are going to talk about the various ministries here at SBC, and so we're going to, in that context, address some of the questions, and a lot of the questions that came up in the survey will be addressed at our AGM. So I really want to encourage you to come out to our AGM on June the 21st, and we're going to address those questions then. And just a reminder to all of you who took the 30-30 challenge to keep up with it. Keep going through your days, recognizing God is with you, and praying continually, Father, what do you want done or said in this moment? And then be willing to do what the Spirit leads you to do. And if you're doing that and you got some great things happening, please send us the stories at admin@sandagebaptist.org. We'd love to hear what's going on and how God's working through you as you seek to walk through your days with Jesus. So I want to encourage you to do that. Well, let me start this morning with a question. Could you imagine having a year go by without celebrating Christmas or Easter? Could you imagine a year where you don't celebrate Christmas or Easter? I mean, if I were to announce that SBC was no longer going to observe Christmas and Easter, you could rightly say to me that the church was turning its back on two of the central events of our faith: Christmas, the birth of Christ; Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And you could say to me, Steve, what on earth are you thinking? What do you mean we're not going to celebrate Christmas and Easter anymore? Well, there's a third event that is just as central to our faith as Christmas and Easter, even though many Christ followers do not celebrate it. And that third event is called Pentecost Sunday. And has already been alluded to, today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day in the Christian calendar where we celebrate the Holy Spirit descending on the first Christ followers. The story is found in Acts 2, the portion of scripture that Lindsay read to us. Pentecost, little history here, Pentecost began and remains one of the major holidays of the Jewish calendar. It occurs 50 days after Passover, and actually the word Pentecost literally means 50th or 50th day. In Bible times, Jewish people from many parts of the ancient world would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. In fact, many Bible scholars believe there were more people in Jerusalem during Pentecost than Passover. The streets would have been just packed with people. For the Jewish people, Pentecost was a time to celebrate the first harvest of the agricultural year. It was a time to celebrate and give thanks to God for what the land had produced and what their labor had yielded. Also, by the time of Jesus, Pentecost was also a time to celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments by Moses to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. For Christians, as I've already mentioned, Pentecost celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit descended on Christ's followers who were gathered together in the upper room in Jerusalem. It also marks the birth of the church. The church was born at Pentecost. Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus, and the church was born. Now that begs the question, how did Peter go from saying about Jesus 53 days earlier, "I don't know him, he denied being a follower of Jesus," to on the day of Pentecost, standing before a crowd of the same people he once feared, and boldly declaring the good news about Jesus? I mean, the last time anybody heard about Peter prior to Pentecost, he was telling people he didn't know Jesus. How did Peter go from being frightened to fearless? How did Peter go from being a coward to being courageous? How did Peter go from denying Jesus to boldly preaching about Jesus in front of the same people? Something happened to Peter and to the other Christ followers that set them on fire for Jesus to such a degree that it says about them in Acts 17:6, here are those who are turning the world upside down. The something that happened was they were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And it was the filling of the Holy Spirit that caused those Christ followers to speak and to pray and to witness in boldness and with power. And what happened to them needs to happen to everyone who calls him or herself a follower of Jesus. We all need to experience what they experienced. It's what Pentecost is all about. In Acts 1, Jesus told his followers to remain in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And once the Holy Spirit had come upon them, they were going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But until that happened, until the Holy Spirit came on them, they were to wait. And as they waited, they were huddled together in a room behind locked doors and shuttered windows. They were fearful. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the people. And they stepped out of that room and they turned the world upside down. Acts 2 tells us that the room was filled with the sound like the roaring of a mighty wind. And what appeared to be tongues of fire rested upon the heads of every person in the room. Everyone in the room was filled with the Holy Spirit, and after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in unknown languages. The unknown languages they were speaking in were the native languages of the people gathered in Jerusalem. Remember, people came from all over the known world to celebrate Pentecost. And here they are, all these people from all over the world. And now these Christ followers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're speaking unknown languages, but those unknown languages were the native languages of all the people gathered in Jerusalem. And as they spoke, people from different regions of the world were absolutely bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by these disciples, these Galileans, these uneducated people. And it says in Acts 2:12 that some in the crowd were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, "What does this mean?" They had no idea what was going on. Others in the crowd thought those followers of Jesus had simply had too much wine. They thought they were drunk, not filled. But Peter responded by saying this, "These men are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. It's too early to be drunk." Then Peter stood in front of the crowd and he preached an amazing message about Jesus. And he ended it this way, Acts 2:36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And in Acts 2:41, we see the response to Peter's message. It says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day." 3,000 people from all around the world responded to Peter's message. 3,000 people from different areas of the ancient world had come to Jerusalem, and now they encountered the message of Jesus, and they responded and became followers of Jesus. And here's the thing, those new Christ followers would now take Peter's message about Jesus back to their homes all over the world, to Asia, North Africa, Europe, Arabia, and beyond. On Pentecost, not only do we see the Spirit descending on those first Christ followers, not only do we see the church being born, but on Pentecost we see Jesus transferring to his followers the responsibility to spread the gospel. On Pentecost, Christ followers became key characters in God's work of redemption and restoration. For us to fulfill what God's called us to do, for us to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission, for us to go out and speak and pray and witness with boldness and power like those first Christ followers did, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us too. We need the Holy Spirit's power working through us. We need the Holy Spirit's empowering presence in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit's power. Time for true confessions this morning. If you don't know about this about me, I'm a coffee snob. I really am a coffee snob. My preferred coffee, whole beans, small batch roasted, of course. Burr grinded only. Weighed. And then poured over or French press. Double walled steel, of course, container. None of this Starbucks. That leaves a terrible aftertaste in your mouth. Horrible coffee. I'm a coffee snob. And I'm not a fan of decaffeinated coffee either. I mean, think about it. Decaffeinated coffee won't wake you up. It won't perk you up. It's got no power. It might look like coffee. It might smell like coffee. But the question is decaffeinated coffee really coffee? Listen, too many of us today have settled for decaffeinated Christianity. A Christianity with no power in it. A Christianity with no Holy Spirit in it. a preacher from bygone eras, well, not that far bygone, but a little bygone, A.W. Tozer said this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. I think today in the church in North America, we've settled for a decaffeinated Christianity, a Christianity with no power, with no boldness. Today we need God to breathe the Spirit's life into our dry souls, into our dry faith, into our dry churches. Do you remember the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel chapter 37? That's an Old Testament story. Let me just remind you, God grabbed Ezekiel and placed him in a valley, not just in any valley, but this valley was full of dry bones. I mean, just imagine in your mind's eye, there's a picture to help you. It's just a valley full of dry bones as far as you can see. And then God asked Ezekiel what I think is a really dumb question. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I'm Ezekiel. I'm going, no. What? Look, God, dead, God, real dead. Like dry, dead bones, dead. But then God told Ezekiel to declare the words of the Lord over these dry bones. Listen to what Ezekiel 37 here. Then he, that's God, said to me, that's Ezekiel, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover your skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly as I spoke, now I want you as I read this to just imagine this happening in your brain. Just as I read this, think about what this would be like if you were Ezekiel there. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched muscles and flesh form over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Okay, does that just freak you out? I mean, be there. Think of that. You know? Suddenly, there are bones flying all over the place. And then the prophet was not looking at a valley of dry bones, but a valley of bodies without breath. It was now a valley of corpses. I mean, breath makes all the difference, doesn't it? I mean, you can look completely normal and be dead. Have you ever seen a dead person in a casket? Often it looks like they're just sleeping. They look normal, but they have no breath. And if those bodies were going to live again, they had to have the breath of the Spirit breathed into them. And so Ezekiel once again spoke and he said, come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. And look what happened next. A breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Ezekiel spoke to the bones, and the bones came together and formed bodies, but the bodies didn't move until the Spirit of God came upon them. And then the life-giving, creation-bringing breath of the living God came upon them, and those bodies started breathing, and they stood to their feet. What an incredible scene. The Spirit of God caused those dry bones to come alive. And I think we need the Spirit of God to do the same thing in our lives. For some, their faith is dry. And it needs to come alive. The soul is parched. And it needs to come alive. We need the Spirit of the living God to blow afresh on us. We need a fresh move, a fresh filling of the Spirit. I like the Pentecost hymn that says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may live as you did live and do what you would do." Another song, I think we're going to sing it at the close this morning, is, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." We need the Spirit of the living God to set a fire in our souls, to set us ablaze for the cause of Christ. We need the power of Pentecost. As someone tweeted this last week, we need an outpouring of the Spirit that does more than tickle our private religious lust for more experiences. We need the kind of outpouring of the Spirit that empowers us with boldness to push back the powers of sin and death. Imagine if all the churches in Victoria were filled with the power of Pentecost. Imagine if all the churches in our city were praying and speaking and worshiping in Pentecost power. Imagine if the Spirit of the living God came down and brought fresh wind and fresh fire to all our churches in our beautiful city. Imagine all the Christ followers of our city going into the city like those early Christ followers did. On this Pentecost Sunday, we need to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can pray expectantly and speak fearlessly about Jesus and courageously live 6-8. And give sacrificially to those in need. And radically accept and love people who are different from us. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us so we can cast out demons and heal the sick and demolish strongholds and break the chains of addiction and proclaim the good news like Jesus did. On this Pentecost Sunday, we need God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can have the boldness and the love and the power that is needed so it can be said of us as well, here are those who are turning the world upside down. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a spiritually dry, easily explainable Christian life. In fact, I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit in it. I want the Holy Spirit to fill and empower me. I want to live life which is unexplainable and where the unexpected happens because the Holy Spirit is in me and moving through me. I want to live a life that is full of the power of Pentecost. What about you? What kind of life do you want to live? Do you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you open to the Holy Spirit's working in your life, empowering you to be a powerful witness for Jesus like those early Christ followers were? Are you open to the Holy Spirit filling you? Are we willing to surrender and yield our lives to the Holy Spirit's filling? Are we willing to walk humbly under the Holy Spirit's influence? Are we willing to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, use me"? You know, as Baptists, we've failed to understand that Pentecost is as necessary as Christmas and Easter. And it's time to change that. And I invite you to celebrate the third great event of the Christian faith, Pentecost Sunday, by opening your life to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse us within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable our weakness. Come as holy life and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us until we are set free from the service of ourselves to be your servants to the world. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your Pentecost power. Amen.
Well, this morning is one of those Sundays where we get to come and celebrate together collectively, but also to witness others who are taking their next steps on their spiritual journey in baptism. We are joining along with the practice and tradition of the local church for the past 2,000 years, where people, men and women and children, decide that they want to let the world know that they identify with Jesus, that they are following Jesus with all of their life. This morning, I get to baptize a young teenager. I get to celebrate along with you with a family, a dad and two of his kids. And they're just wanting all of us to know that Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior. And as he called us as Christ followers, as the church, to go into the world and to share the story, and as people believe and as people trust, he said to baptize them, to make this public display. And it's an expression. This, what you'll see is the people will be here and they will be passed backwards and then brought up. And it's an expression of a life that has been set aside, setting aside my old ways. And I'm afresh, anew, wanting to follow Jesus. And so that's what we're doing. That might be a rehash for some of you. For some of you, that might be brand new, and you might want to talk to us later about it, and we'd sure love to do that. Nathan, I'd like to call you down right now to come. This is a privilege for me. It always is, but this one's special in a number of ways. Nathan, good to see you, buddy. Come on right over here. Yeah. Nathan, I've known you, what, for about 3 years? Yeah. And during COVID, the pandemic, Nathan's been one of the guys that's been hanging out on the cameras and helping us broadcast the services, and we really appreciate that. But what's been kind of special for me is that in the last few months, Nathan and his mom, Darcy, have been a part of our micro church. And so we've been able to sit around and have meals and talk about faith and next steps. And then you and I have gone for a few walks, and it's been awesome. Nathan, this summer, is going to head out to Quano's. What's the program again you're taking?
Step Out.
Step Out, right. And you're going to be there for a couple weeks. You're doing some reading and studying about God and all that before it, and it's really cool. Nathan, just want to ask you a couple of questions. Is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know it, but it would be good for everyone else to hear it. Is it your desire as you, you're at Spectrum, right? Yeah, is it your desire that whether you're at Spectrum or at Quano's or in your housing complex or wherever you go, that you want to live your life for the glory of God and the good of others?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, and that is so, so cool. And so it's my privilege and my joy, Nathan, to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So just come forward here. Jeff and his family. family are going to be coming down now. Jeff and his two kids, Lori and Landon, as soon as we were able last summer to start gathering again in the service, have come up here and are, I can see where his family is, and they've sat in that row pretty much every Sunday since. Come on down, guys. And yeah. And you know, this is always a little nerve-wracking. I've done this hundreds of times. I always just feel a little nervous. Yeah. Come on in, Jeff. And it's a little nerve-wracking for the family. Yeah, Jeff, if you want to just come first. And Lori and Landon. Yeah, Lori, if you want to just wait right there, you're doing awesome. Landon, make sure you can see. Okay. Yeah. Isn't this cool? To have a family. You read in the book. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that great? Awesome. So I didn't know Jeff until he started. I mean, maybe we knew. I knew you. I don't know. But I didn't really know you. And I've had the privilege of being able to have a couple phone calls, a really great coffee with you. And one thing that I've heard from you, Jeff, is that you're wanting to get to know your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus, better. You're trying to figure out how to be a better boss because of that relationship.
Yes.
Better dad. Better husband. Right? Like, you want Jesus to infiltrate your entire life, and that's so cool. Now, Jeff, you also mentioned to me that you had been baptized as a little guy.
Yes, I was.
But you wanted to do this sort of as your own personal decision. Is that right?
Yes, I want to do it so it's my own choice, so that I'm making the decision to follow Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool. That is so great. Jeff, because Jesus has commanded, you've requested, it is completely my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But just one more question, two more questions actually. Is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah. And I said it, but let's hear you say it again. Is it your desire that whether you're at the work site, whether you're at home, whether you're off, I don't know, buying stuff at Home Depot, whatever it is you're doing, that you'd like God to live through you? As we heard about this morning, that the Spirit of God would just live more and more in your life. Is that what you desire?
Yes, I want him with me.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, I is with you, and this is your step, public statement, yes. Identifying with God and identifying with this church family. It's so great. It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Second with Lori. Yep. So Lori is a beautiful young lady, but she's not quite as tall as Nathan or her dad. So we're getting the chair in here, and I'm just gonna carry you over there and get you on that chair.
I'm scared.
Are you all right there?
Yeah.
You're doing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Now Lori, you've heard me talk to your dad,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I know Christina met with you guys last week, and she was hearing about your love for Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
you're reading the Bible and trying to understand more about who Jesus is and his love for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me earlier, what school do you go to again?
David Cameron.
David Cameron, yeah. So when you're here at church, I know you love worshiping Jesus and living for him here. Is it your desire when you're at school and at home and all to try to let Jesus just shine through you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I tell all my friends about him as well.
Do you? Nice. That is so great. Did you hear that? Tells all her friends about Jesus as well. So good. So good. So is Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, Lori? Yeah. And it's your desire to live for him through all of life. We've already heard that. That is so good. And I just love your smile. You're doing awesome. Well, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well done, kiddo. That is fantastic. Move this chair because Landon doesn't need the chair.
Yeah, he's
all right. Come on in, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lori just said it's fun. We were all a little nervous. We're all a little nervous out there, right? Like this is yeah, a bunch of people we may not know, but all of these people love you, and it's fantastic. So, Landon, you heard me talking to your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Christina and, and you had a conversation, and you have declared that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. And then what school do you go to?
Reynolds.
All right. Is it your desire, whether you're at Reynolds, at home, I don't know, doing a recreation, whatever it is that you're kind of doing, that Jesus would live through you? Is that? Yeah. And he is your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah. That is so great. Well, what a privilege to baptize you as well in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. What wonderful testimonies to God working in us and in our lives. Let's stand together and sing one last song and invite the Holy Spirit to come and continue to work in our hearts. Let's sing Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, we're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, we're hanging on every word.
Spirit of the living God.
Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. We only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. We want to know you.
Because when you speak, tears. Sing that again.
Both online and all of you here in the room. And as I stand in here in the baptismal tank, you might be thinking, you know, that is a next step that I would like to take. I would like to stand with the rest of this group here. Talk to me after the service. Reach out to us at the church office at sandwichbaptist.org. Give us a phone call. Hit the website. It's a million ways to contact us. I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe this morning, you just need some prayer. There will be people up front here who would love to pray with you. If you're online, you can hit the website. There's a little prayer tab there, and people will reach out to you, and we'll continue to lift you in prayer. Yeah, it's been great having you here. If you've come prepared to give, you can do that. There's offering plates on the way out. There's a debit machine if you're interested in doing that. We thank you. To those of you who have been supporting us, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And if this is a new thing for you and you have some questions, Loretta will be at the back at the giving station there, and she'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. Yeah. Galatians chapter 5 gives us this benediction, and it's a very simple one. Keep in step with the Spirit. Know that the Spirit is alive. Check in with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. God bless. Thanks so much for coming. Have a wonderful day.